Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Ty Smith, the founder, CEO, and president of ComSafe AI, a team of intelligence experts, data scientists, and software engineers headquartered in San Diego, California. The company's mission is to help companies protect their people, brand, reputation, and intellectual property by identifying in real-time instances of harassment, discrimination, and threats that often go undiscovered in the workplace until it's too late. Here today to talk about a new technology to stop toxic behavior in its tracks is Ty Smith. And Ty, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And of course, we certainly do appreciate your time. Thanks for coming out. So tell us more about ComSafe AI, how and why it was founded, and give us a brief overview of your background, if you don't mind, to kick things off today.
Yes, thank you. So ComSafe AI is a venture capital-backed technology company based in San Diego, California. We help companies protect their people. Our mission is to protect the people that work for the organizations that we work for. Our mission is to protect the people within our community. Our mission is to protect one another, all of the people within our tribe, because that's who we are inherently, as we are protectors of people. And as a result, we build algorithms that we provide to large enterprises that have more than 500 employees, also organizations like the Department of Defense, in order to help them to stay ahead of instances of risky communication, things that span sexual harassment, racial discrimination, even threats of self-harm and harm to others. Our algorithms help organizations to stay to the left of boom of these incidents. We actually help our customers to do this by way of two products. We have a product in the market that's called an organizational wellness and risk assessment. That is a retroactive assessment of organizational data that's pulled from the email communications channels and the chat communications channels that employees are using, just like the communication channel that we're using right now, right? Microsoft Teams. And this technology allows the organization to pull very unbiased, indiscriminate data and insights from this data in order to understand what employees are actually thinking and feeling. What is the sentiment across the organization? What's the sentiment between your employees and your brand? What's the sentiment between your customers and your brand? Do you have any risky communication that's taking place that could become a detriment to the organization? And then for our customers that are looking for more near real-time risk detection, we provide them with a live monitoring solution that is looking for instances of risky communication right now. And it's actually predictive because it's real AI. It's pulling from the same data sources, so email and chat channels, and it's looking for instances of an employee threatening to hurt themselves or to hurt someone else, instances of someone that's being harassed or someone that's being bullied, so that we get ahead of it and help that person prior to that person becoming fed up and showing up to work with a gun looking to solve the problem on their own. We built this company as a result of seeing what's been happening in the world, right? You know, before building this company, we ran a tech-enabled security consultancy called Vigilance Risk Solutions, and we were working for very big companies, some of the same companies we're working for now. And what we discovered is that all of you are responding to bad things that have already happened. This woman has already been harassed or assaulted. This individual was being bullied. That's why he showed up to work with a gun. This person already quit. Now they're suing you, so they're costing the business time, money, and talent. And again, we were trying to keep them to the left of boom. So ultimately, we felt strongly that, well, if we can capture these instances of risky communication or risky behavior early enough, we can prevent catastrophes from happening. Maybe this individual never shows up to work with a gun because we stopped the bullying immediately or early on. And so that's how we came up with the idea for this technology. And the technology, it's amazing. It's extremely accurate. It's real AI. It's firing off at more than 90% accuracy, which is out of this world for AI. It's already saved lives at organizations. I'm very excited about the self-harm models because as a retired Navy SEAL, I'm tired of my friends and teammates killing themselves, which is why we're driving this tech into the DoD as hard and as fast as we can. Like I said, Erica, I'm a protector of people. That's who I am inherently. And that's why I build the type of companies that I built. And it's also why before becoming an entrepreneur, I was a sailor for 2 decades. More specifically, I was a Navy SEAL for 15 out of the 20 years that I served in the United States Navy prior to becoming an entrepreneur. And so at the end of my naval career, I was fortunate to go on and complete my undergraduate studies, my graduate studies in business at the University of Southern California, Marshall School of Business. And I was going to go over and work for the FBI because, again, I just want to keep protecting people. But the opportunity to build my first business came about following the active shooter situation, the horrible incident at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, California, back in 2015. That was my pivot from moving from going to federal law enforcement after the military to going, no, I'm going to build businesses that help everyday people that don't have this skill set that we have in law enforcement and the military and first responders. I'm going to take the skill set to them so that we can help those people that don't understand how to help themselves. So that's who we are. That's what we do. I'm really excited to tell you more, and that's why I got into this.
First of all, let me thank you for your service and also all you're doing here through ComSafe AI. I think it's fabulous. I'm looking forward to hearing more of what you have to say about all this. Now, as you know, with the current climate, do you feel conflict and violence in the workplace is on the rise, or are they inflating these stats in the media?
No, I think that conflict and violence in the workplace is absolutely on the rise. I mean, the data is out there. This data has not been inflated, at least not to my knowledge. And that's all we do, Eric, is track this data so that we know, you know, beyond talking to customers, so that we know what to start building to get a jump on risks and threats to organizations that are going to spring up in the future. And what we know is that over the last 3-4 years alone, as a result of some things that humans could have seen coming and some things that we just couldn't see coming, right? Everyone is on edge. Everyone is on edge. And we've all been working from home or this hybrid model as a result of that. And now businesses are looking up and going, hey, we can come up for air. How do we get our employees back into the workplace now that we think we're on the backside of all of this emotional and psychological stress and turmoil that we've all survived from the racial tension, and not just in the United States, by the way, but globally as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, we've seen xenophobia skyrocket through the roof. So it's not just in the United States that we're dealing with racial tension, but it's all over the world. And speaking of the COVID-19 pandemic, what has that done to every one of us individually? What has that done to our children? How is it going to affect them now that they're going back to school and trying to figure out how to be with one another again? And fortunately, I think the kids are even more resilient than the adults, and they can figure it out faster than us. But what about when mommy and daddy go back to work and their colleagues are bringing racial tension back into the workplace, political tension back into the workplace? You know, we didn't have the smoothest elections this last go round, or even the one before that, to be honest with you. What happens when we start bringing the xenophobia back into the workplace, the fear of getting sick? What happens when people start sneezing in board meetings? How are human beings going to react to that? Because that's it. Like, we're all human, and every person responds differently to emotional and psychological stress. So no, this is something that we have to be concerned with, Eric, because make no mistake, all of these risk variables are going back into the workplace, whether it be a large enterprise that has 80,000 employees like a Coca-Cola, or it'd be the University of Southern California. Like those students are going back to school, the professors, the law enforcement professionals working on campus, the janitors, everyone, they're all going back to the workplace. It's just different types of workplaces, but we're gonna have the same problems in those workplaces. And unfortunately, you know, the Walmart shooting, I don't know how to give a better example of, hey, all of this stuff is coming back into the workplace. Leadership has to get ahead of it, whether you know about it or not. There are employees that are being bullied. There are employees that are being harassed. There are employees that are being assaulted. You have employees that are so fed up with everything that we've been talking about that they're considering hurting themselves and maybe even hurting other people on their way out the door. So we have to get ahead of these incidents because it's real and the data is real.
I certainly appreciate your clarifying that in all regards. Now, continuing on and tagging on to that last question in regards to conflict and violence in the workplace, what is ComSafe doing in response?
We're trying to keep organizations to the left of boom by providing the management of an organization with more robust insights into the organization than they've ever had, especially as it pertains to organizational risk. Because again, we don't want you responding to bad things that have already happened. We want you to stay to the left of boom so that you prevent the bad thing from happening, or so that you handle it at the lowest level possible, prior to lives being destroyed, prior to you even having to terminate an employee. Maybe that person can be salvaged so that you don't even disrupt that life. So that's what we're doing in order to help combat this problem. We're going to organizations and saying, hey, we can help you to pull insights from data that you already own in order to understand what your employees are thinking, what they're feeling. If you have 200,000 employees and you're the leader of that organization, you have no idea what's happening with the people that work for your organization. You are so far removed from the administrative assistant that was hired in this department way over here that could also be bringing some of those risk variables into the workplace. So we're providing a technological solution set that allows organizations to know, do we have human beings that are under physical or emotional duress? Do we have human beings that are actively planning to exfiltrate data from the company? Do we have human beings that are actively planning to hurt other human beings in the company? Or do we have human beings that are planning to do or say something that's going to make the company look bad, or have the leadership on the company on the front page of CNN for something that they had no idea was even happening in the background? So we're putting that power back into the hands of an organization to go, no, we're going to do something about this now instead of waiting for a human being to get hurt. And then we respond by throwing in more training and just settling the lawsuit and pretending that the rest of the employees aren't concerned about, well, what's going to happen if that happens to me? Are you going to treat me the same way?
Well, all that we've heard so far, I know folks are really happy about what you're doing to combat all of this and your response to that today. We're speaking with Ty Smith, the founder and CEO and president of ComSafe AI, a team of intelligence experts, data scientists, and software engineers headquartered in San Diego, California, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, if you would, tell us more about your unique software that you have developed and some of the key features.
Yeah, so ComSafe AI's architecture is incredibly robust because the security alone, it had to be DoD grade. Again, because we're trying to push this technology into the DoD to prevent soldier, sailor, airmen, and Marines from committing self-harm. We're trying to save lives. So we spent the last 2 years building security architecture that was lockdown tight, like beyond Fort Knox. It's SOC 2 compliant, it's ISO compliant, so that organizations don't have to worry about us getting their data breached. We built the technology in a way that it is indiscriminate, it's totally unbiased, it is not invading on the individual personal privacy. It works in a way that it allows the organization to get ahead of incidents without invading on an individual. At no point in time will anyone inside or outside of an organization that's using any of our products see the communication of one person inside or outside of the organization, unless that person has communicated in a way that has caused our ML AI algorithms to actually flag an instance of communication, which may indicate a risk to the organization or a risk to someone within the organization. And again, this technology, it's built off deep learning, and it implements via an open API to an organization's email channel, so Outlook email, Google Suite email, and their chat channels, Microsoft Teams, Slack, you name it. But implementation actually takes less than 15 minutes. I don't care how big the company is. And the technology immediately starts ingesting and scoring data and doing its job in order to provide very robust insights to an organization so that they understand what's actually happening across the entire organization, and are there human beings that need help somewhere within the organization. Because what we found is that, take for example, the use case of sexual harassment. A lot of time people will say, well, sexual harassment, it doesn't happen that much over email. So why are you monitoring email? If anything, it happens more over chat. Yes, you're right. What we found is that sexual harassment, it only happens over email like maybe 25% of the time, right? But more than 90% of the time, it's reported via email. And what we're finding is that what's unfortunate about that is that these reports typically go to a manager. That manager is typically undertrained or doesn't understand how to deal with these situations. And so they just kind of, you know, smash the situation down and go, oh, that's just James. He's old school. That's just how he is. Don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal. You're taking it too seriously. And now they've just added more risk for the organization because the employee tried to report that he or she was in some type of danger under some type of physical or emotional stress. And now the company, not the manager, by the book, the company has now blown that employee off and has taken on a lot more risk. And so with our technology, a human being doesn't necessarily have to report. That could be an inadvertent report. So in that particular scenario, even if the manager blows it off, the company has the ability to use the technology to name moderators within the organization. So this is a person that's going to receive information, whether it be based on something that's historical. Hey, this may have happened 2 months ago, because you're buying the wellness and risk assessment, so you're looking at data retroactively, or because the organization is using the live real-time monitoring solution, and this is happening right now. So you as the moderator, and that could be the chief human resources officer, it could be the general counsel, it could be the chief security officer, you will receive that alert in real time, letting you know that this person is being harassed in real time. This is something that you can intervene in and get that person or those people help right now. But the technology, it's extremely accurate, it's unbiased, it's indiscriminate, it is not Big Brother the way some people would automatically perceive it to be. We took all of that into consideration when we built the technology and in order to support the why behind why we were building the solutions.
And of course, another question for you, what type of companies is this software best for?
Any company with more than 500 employees, we want to talk to you because we have multiple products and our products can help multiple nodes across an organization. We have algorithms that we can provide to HR to help you to combat instances of discrimination or sexual harassment. We have algorithms to provide for the chief security officer and insider threat team to help them get ahead of instances of bullying or someone threatening to hurt themselves or to hurt someone at the organization. We have algorithms that we can sell to sales in order for them to implement over a call center so that you understand when the sentiment of a call is going wrong and the organization is about to lose the business, they're about to possibly upset someone. They're possibly going to lose talent, you know, because this person doesn't want to take being talked to this way anymore, no matter how much the customer is spending with the company. So if the company has more than 500 employees, we want to talk to them because you might not be a candidate for the live monitoring solution, which we try to drive into the large enterprises. But if you're only 300 employees, you're absolutely a candidate for the organizational wellness and risk assessment because you still got 300 human beings that you need to understand, hey, what is the sentiment across my organization? What am I paying for and it's working versus what are we paying for as an organization? And that's not working. We're basically burning money there. And we might even be upsetting people with this particular, whether it be an EAP or a memo that we just put out saying that we're going to do whatever. Like, the organization needs to know that information. So we want to talk to all of those businesses, whether they're a middle market business with 300 employees or large enterprise with 200,000 employees.
Definitely appreciate your feedback there. That is most helpful. Now, lastly, as we conclude, one of the big concerns always is invasion of privacy when working for a company. Is there any such thing as too much privacy as an employee? And what do you tell organizations that may be hesitant to adopt this technology?
That's a really good question, Eric. And believe it or not, I have dwelled on that question for a long time. Is there a such thing as too much privacy for the employee? I'll be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that question. And I only say that because it's a very subjective question, right? Like, I could very easily in my security brain go, there's no such thing as too much privacy. Right. Or I don't care how private you want to be. You belong to my organization. I have a right to know what's going on with you because I have to protect people. But when it comes down to it, that is subjective. And who am I to say to another human being that, hey, there's a such thing as too much privacy, that like we need to know what's going on. So I'll leave that in the hands of organizations to make that decision on their own. What I will say is that that's a conversation that we absolutely took in mind prior to writing one line of code. Before we built this technology, as a team, we interviewed nearly 100 chief human resource officers and general counsels because the privacy thing is what we were most concerned with, Eric. We thought it could cause a non-starter for us to not even get this thing going. And we wanted to know if we could successfully navigate that conversation. I think what's most important for organizations to understand is that, first and foremost, we, as a result of all of that gathering of information from the market before we built this technology, you all told us how to build this technology so that it isn't invading the individual privacy of a person. You all told us how to build this technology so that it could not be used as a big brother tool or as a witch hunt tool. I mean, it's virtually impossible to use it that way because we built it in a way that prohibits an organization or an individual at an organization from using it that way. And that's a testament to all of those conversations. So if I had to give an organization advice on how to make employees understand that, hey, this is the right thing to bring this type of technology into the organization, is you have to talk to them about it up front. Tell them that you're going to do it and tell them the why behind it and be honest, be real as a leadership team. Don't give them some fluff, scripted, you know, hey, this is what corporate communications told us to say. Like, no, you're the CEO. This is your opportunity to show everyone that you are a human being and that you are real and that you care about them and that you're bringing this technology into the organization because those are human beings you care about and they're not just numbers and you don't want them to get bullied. You don't want them to get harassed. You want to know when that individual needs help, needs counseling, because you actually care about them. This is your opportunity to be vulnerable, be real, and show people that you're a human being. And here's the flip side to that coin, at least what I found through two careers, one in which I was responsible for leading you know, the highest level of performers through very, very uncertain environments and times, is that your ability as a leader to do that, it will dictate how your employees or how your team responds in the face of discomfort. So if your team believes what you're saying, and they believe you're being a real person, and no, I'm making this decision because I love you and I care about you and I want to protect you, I'm responsible for you, you're a part of my tribe, then you're starting off on the right foot. If you're thinking of buying this technology and you want to hide it from the world, you want to hide it from your employees, then yes, you're running a risk of that messaging going sideways when someone discovers you're using the technology. So our stance is that organizational leaders should tell their employees that they're buying the technology and that they're using it, and just tell them why. People will understand if you're honest with them and you tell them why and you explain to them that you're simply trying to do the right thing by them.
You could not have responded any better than that. I can't thank you enough for the thorough insight and information shared here today and all you're doing in the space. Folks, for more information and for contact, simply visit comsafe.ai. Mr. Smith, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Happy holidays, Eric. Take care and be safe.
Hey, thanks for that. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. We've been speaking with Mr. Ty Smith, the founder, CEO, and president of ComSafe AI, a team of intelligence experts, data scientists, and software engineers headquartered in San Diego, California. And again, for all the details, visit comsafe.ai. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.